This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 25th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the latest in our DNA Files series from Illinois Public Radio, discussing genetics and race. We'll also get a forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. It looks like the cuts that Governor Rob Blagojevich made to Illinois' budget will stand. Today is the deadline for lawmakers to override him. And as Amanda Vinicky reports, they're not even in session.
The Illinois House voted earlier this month to restore the $500 million Blagojevich vetoed out of the budget. But in order for the money to be put back, the Senate must do the same, and by law has a limited time to do so. That time's up today, so the cuts will stand. The Senate never took a vote either way on the issue. Rather, Senate President Emil Jones, a Democrat, refused to let that happen. The Senate's Republican leader, Frank Watson, says it's an abuse of power by Jones.
There's 59 elected senators. One individual should not have the authority to be able to just totally control the process. And that's what's happening, unfortunately, right now.
The governor says he took pork out of the budget, and the Senate president has said he agrees. But Watson says the governor made the cuts to punish political foes, harming veterans, mentally ill children, and others in the process. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Watson predicts the situation will make it harder for legislative leaders and the governor to come to terms on other issues facing the state. Many social service groups say without state funding they had expected, they'll have to scale back services. A group of female lawmakers has wrapped up a listening tour that they say will help them better address the problems of women across Illinois. Sean Crawford has that story.
Saying they logged hundreds of miles and visited with hundreds of people, a dozen female House Republicans spent 3 days hearing about issues impacting women. They got an earful about the shortage of nurses, the cost of college tuition, and the lack of affordable daycare, among other topics. Representative Ruth Munson of Elgin says women often feel as though their voices aren't heard in politics and government.
They also said that they don't pay attention anymore because they're bombarded by the negative news coming out of Springfield. We plan on changing that. We plan on changing it one voice at a time.
Women are a minority in the Illinois legislature. The governor and the four legislative leaders are all men. The ladies of the House GOP say they'll continue to work to address issues discussed during the Women's Voices tour. As for how their male colleagues will respond, Munson says the agenda is less about gender and more about families, so the plans should receive strong support from everyone. I'm Sean Crawford.
Opinions are mixed among Western Indiana lawmakers on Governor Mitch Daniels' property tax restructuring and reduction plan. Democratic State Representative Dale Grubb of Covington calls the governor's plan a modest proposal that'll serve as a good starting point for debate. He likes the idea of shifting most school district operating and transportation costs to the state level, but Grubb says he needs to find out how Hoosiers would be affected by the governor's plan to raise the state sales tax while capping property taxes.
It would appear on the surface that higher income, more expensive homeowners benefit at the expense of lower priced homeowners and persons who pay a larger portion of their salary and disposable income. The sales tax increase would hit them harder because they have less disposable income that would be taxed.
Meanwhile, Republican State Senator Phil Boots of Crawfordsville supports the Daniels plan. He says he'd have no trouble voting to raise the state sales tax by a penny per dollar in exchange for property tax caps. Republican leaders in the state General Assembly say they want to start work on the governor's property tax plan quickly. Savoy's Village Board has been taking a go-slow approach on a proposed agreement with the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District. The agreement would bring some commercial and apartment buildings into the MTD now, while shielding most residential areas from forced annexation for 25 years. Last night, the Village Board listened to four supporters and four opponents at their second public hearing on the proposal. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Tamitha Wilkins lives in the Village at Colbert Park, a new student apartment complex in Savoy that would join the MTD under the agreement. Wilkins told Village trustees she wants the bus service because the current shuttle bus to campus offered by apartment management is too limited.
But the shuttle stopped running at 5:30. You no longer have access. It doesn't run on the weekends either. So I am in favor of the bus, just as I think other students and other people in general would be.
The developers of the village at Colbert Park support annexation into the CUMTD, but Linda Stark of Savoy Storage told trustees the agreement would annex her business into the mass transit district against her will.
Us and certain other properties are being selected out, that we're going to be paying taxes that other people aren't. And we are not real happy about us paying taxes when somebody else doesn't.
Savoy trustees did not discuss the proposed CUMTD agreement themselves last night. They'll do so at their November 7th meeting. But Mayor Bob McCleary says no vote will be taken at that time. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The expansion of a breast cancer program to all uninsured Illinoisans has survivors issuing a plea to other women. State public health officials were in Champaign yesterday to promote the availability of the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program. An additional 260,000 women now qualify for free screenings and treatment. Breast cancer survivor Kristen Murray of Urbana had to undergo cancer treatment twice. The second time, she skipped two annual mammograms because she lacked insurance. Murray urges all women in Illinois to work with their physician and to be vigilant.
I know you may be afraid, but you must conquer that fear because fear is a partner of cancer. Fear breeds the passage of time, and you must have time on your side, not that of the disease. Your very life may depend upon it.
The Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program was launched in 1995. It's provided more than 180,000 screenings. For more information on how you can obtain a breast or cervical cancer screening online, you can visit cancerscreening.illinois.gov. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. African-American women have a lower rate of breast cancer than white women. But when it comes to young black women, the opposite is true. Some scientists think that genes associated with ancestry might be the culprit, and that discovering those genes might help lead to a treatment or a cure. Yet this type of research also raises questions about whether a disease can be linked to race and whether doing so will lead to renewed discrimination. Illinois Public Radio's Lynette Kalsness reports as part of our special DNA file series on genetics.
Dr. Fomi Olopadi began studying breast cancer in the early 1990s. Several years ago, the University of Chicago cancer geneticist noticed something strange going on with some patients who had not hit menopause yet. They were disproportionately getting a nasty form of breast cancer.
What I think was really striking was that the estrogen receptor negative breast cancer was not only limited to young women, that it seemed to be overrepresented among the African American patients we saw.
The cancer is called estrogen receptor negative because it's not fed by estrogen. So drugs like tamoxifen that work by preventing estrogen from getting to the cancer cell don't work.
Why that is the case, we don't know. But that's really why there's really a lot of interest now to study it. Is it genetics? Is it environment? What is it? And we don't know.
Olopadi and her team are trying to figure out if the genetic ancestry of these young black women here and in Africa has anything to do with why they're more prone to this form of breast cancer than other ethnic groups.
Everyone always said it was the poverty, it was the fact that these women were in denial, it was the fact that they didn't have access. But because you don't have access doesn't mean you should have ER-negative breast cancer. That's really why we started thinking, maybe there's more to it than just lack of access.
Now, figuring out why a particular group disproportionately gets a disease might seem pretty straightforward, but it's actually quite controversial when it comes to African Americans. That's because this country has such a long and terrible history of racial medicine.
I think researchers in this area have to walk a fine line.
Dorothy Roberts is a law professor at Northwestern University. She's writing a book on the politics of race-based biotechnologies.
That biological definition of what made black people different from white people was used to rationalize having slavery in a country that was supposed to be founded on equality and liberty.
Doctors performed surgeries and experiments on slaves that couldn't be done on whites at the time, often without anesthetics. More recently, there was the infamous Tuskegee experiment. Doctors withheld treatment for syphilis from hundreds of black men for 40 years so they could study the effects.
Some African Americans are suspicious of the idea that they should get a different kind of medication or a different kind of therapy or a different kind of medical approach than whites, because historically, when blacks and whites have been treated differently, blacks have gotten the inferior treatment.
Racial science is not just a thing of the past. That's according to Dr. Richard Cooper. Cooper heads preventive medicine at Loyola Medical School. He occasionally spots research he considers biased and based on faulty logic.
The typical story that's being told is that blacks are more susceptible to hypertension than are whites. But if you look on a global scale, overall, blacks have much lower blood pressure than do whites.
It turns out blacks had a higher prevalence of hypertension than whites in the U.S., but the highest rate internationally? Well, that was the white Europeans, and Nigerians had the lowest.
So in the comparison between U.S. blacks and U.S. whites, we've allowed ourselves to be confused and focus on the genetic difference, when in fact, the more likely explanation would be the social-environmental difference.
These environmental factors include major public health problems. African Americans still disproportionately live in poverty, have poor access to health care, and generally get treated for disease in later stages. But even when it comes to genetics, the Human Genome Project found humans only differ by 0.1% of their DNA. At Rick Kittle's University of Chicago lab, a centrifuge machine spins DNA, one step in the genetic replication process. Kittles is a professor of genetic medicine.
It's extremely problematic when you view genetics through racial terms. It's not good science.
Genetic testing has shown us that many people who call themselves black have European ancestry and vice versa. So basing research on race can actually lead to inaccurate results.
When I say there are no races, I say there are no biological races. Race is a social concept in the United States. And as a black male in the U.S., I have to recognize that. I mean, you know, race is real when I'm walking down the street. But if I were involved in some genetic research, you know, the whole issue of race, I think shouldn't really be a major factor.
Kittles looks at ancestry instead. For him, ancestry is the shared gene pool of people from a particular area. Looking into ancestry is important because Americans of African descent might benefit if more research was devoted to them. Take the case of vitamin D.
Individuals with darker skin actually make less vitamin D than individuals with lighter skin because of the melanin in the skin that blocks the amount of sunlight reaching into the inner layers of the skin where the conversion occurs.
The theory is that our ancestors in Africa had darker skin to protect them from the intense sunlight. When people moved to dimmer climates in Asia and Europe, their skin grew paler to let in more sun. And that could be an issue today because some studies suggest there's a link between low levels of vitamin D and susceptibility to cancer. Kittles is studying the genetic pathway that's involved, an interest he traces to his own family history of prostate cancer.
These are personal questions for me, and I get very, very emotional about some of these issues because I see myself in this research. I am not just doing this as an academic exercise.
As a scientist, Kittles is not interested in shying away from research he thinks is important just because it's controversial. And frankly, there are black women in Olopati's breast cancer study who don't understand why there's an uproar to begin with. They know the terrible history at play here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good.
But for young women like Angela Clark, the benefits of studying why some African-American women get breast cancer are clear.
A lot of research is not based on members of ethnic groups to begin with. So I'm kind of dismissive of the controversy. I'm glad that there's someone actually actively taking a look at issues that affect the African-American community.
Clark doesn't have breast cancer, but cancer killed her grandmother and her aunt, and her mother is a cancer survivor. Breast cancer researcher Ola Patti hopes that by studying women like Clark here, as well as women in Africa, she'll find a cure, or at least a treatment that prolongs life.
And I try as much as possible to say it's not black and white, but people really like to talk about race. And I think it's because in this country, race is important. In Africa, I say I'm black, and that's it. There's nothing about it. But here, it has history.
Like Rick Kittles at U of C, Ola Patti is sensitive to this history. She wants to cure people, not reignite old racial stereotypes. And she thinks that can happen as long as scientists remain sensitive and vigilant. I'm Lynette Kalsnes.
Our meteorologist Ed Kieser calls for a sunny day in far northern Illinois, but elsewhere in the north, mostly sunny in the morning with increasing clouds during the afternoon. Central sections of Illinois and Indiana will see sunshine early, then increasing clouds with scattered showers arriving during the late afternoon. In the south, cloudy with scattered showers. Today's highs will range from 54 in southern Illinois to near 60 in many northern and central locations. Champaign-Urbana's high should be 59 with morning sunshine and clouds and a chance of some showers by evening. For tonight, in northern Illinois and Indiana, mostly cloudy with scattered showers arriving. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, continued scattered showers. Lows from 43 in northwest Illinois to around 50 in eastern Indiana and in Chicago. Tonight's low in Champaign-Urbana, 48 with rain. For tomorrow, cloudy with areas of rain across the two states. Highs from 56 in western and southern Illinois to 63 in eastern Indiana. Tomorrow's high in Champaign-Urbana, 59. Saturday, cloudy with a chance of a few showers, especially during the morning, and a high of 58. Sunny and 55, though, for Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, October 25th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.